3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Pastor.
I'd like to join together with those who have already stood before you and just say that we're glad that you're here today. And what a blessing it is that God brings his people together. And my heart is just rejoicing in God when I think of the clearness of his word and the message shared through music this morning and just the presence of God's people. Praise God. We're just glad that God's brought you and brought us together today. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to the Lord. We need his help, desperately need his help when we open the scriptures that we might understand. He might work in our hearts. Let's ask him to do that right now. Father, thank you so much that you love us and you care for us. You've proven that without a doubt by giving Jesus for our salvation. And Father, even now as your people have gathered today, Lord, our desire, oh God, may it be our desire that we focus on you, turn our thoughts toward you, humble ourselves before you, cry out to you that you come near to us this day. Father, speak to us through your word this morning. Thank you for it. And even as we look into the scripture, your word, we pray, God, for understanding. We pray for this truth to go to our hearts, that we might see ourselves, that we might see you, and God, we might be changed. And so we will trust you to work in our lives, even beyond what we see or know. Father, you know us. You know every detail of our lives. You know exactly what we need. You've brought us here today to glorify you. You've made us to glorify you. May we do that now as we listen, as we take in your word, and God, we ask for your work in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about the new birth, he spoke to him words that have become perhaps the most familiar words in all of the Bible. We see it before us, John chapter 3, and let's just read it again. John chapter 3, I'll begin with verse 16, read the two verses that follow. Thanks, Chris, for reading that. Let's look at it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We look at these verses this morning, and folks, it's not hard to see why John 3:16 is one of the most famous, memorized, cherished verses in all of the Bible, because packed into this verse, in one verse, in one statement that Jesus makes to this Jewish leader Nicodemus, in this one verse we see the greatest realities that exist. Look carefully. There's God, there's love, the world, the Son of God, faith, perishing forever, living forever, whoever, the greatest realities that exist, we find in this statement. What can be more important? What can be more relevant to you and me today, right now, this morning, than these truths that are before us here in John 3:16? What could be more urgent, more vital,
more important for you and me than to know where that we stand today in relation to what God says to us in this verse. One reason that John 3:16 is so widely memorized and so deeply loved is that it's such a remarkable and full summary of the gospel. And when we say gospel, we're talking about the good news. The good news that's centered around Jesus Christ. And so Jesus here then is sharing with Nicodemus and with us the simplicity of the good news in how to be born again. Keep in mind that that's the context of this passage. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so when we look at these verses, that conversation continues. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he shares with him these wonderful, life-changing words in John chapter 3, verse 16. What I'd like to do, and actually take a few weeks to do it, is to divide John 3:16 into several parts that make a natural presentation of the gospel. Now, of course, everything that's included in the gospel or everything that's included in our salvation is not found here in John 3:16. Things like the glory of God's not mentioned, or God's calling, or God's choosing, or justification, or adoption. We'll find those things in other places in the Word of God. But folks, I would say to you this morning that what we have here is so basic and so precious and so powerful in its simplicity and clarity that there are not many more verses that are more important than what we see here in John 3:16. So let's now look at John 3:16. Let's break it down into several important parts represented by certain words that we find here in the text. We'll look now at the danger of perishing. Every one of us face it. We'll look at the deliverance of love. God loves us and rescues us. We'll look at the decision to believe. We must decide or choose to believe. And we'll look at the destiny of eternal life. There is a future with God for those who believe. Perishing, love, believe, eternal life. Very important words. We'll look at this verse in its totality, and we'll take a few weeks to do that. Now, folks, these truths aren't new. You know these truths. You've heard these truths. But you know, that doesn't make it any less important. Just because you've heard it before or you've looked at this verse before, the importance still is before us this morning. As a matter of fact, we need constant reminders of the importance of these truths that are before us this morning. So let's begin with the first word. And let's look now at the danger of perishing. Jesus says to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the truth for us today in this word perish is very simple. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most important things that anyone could tell you in all of your life. Here it is. That you and I will perish if we do not trust Jesus Christ as God and Savior. You and I will perish if we don't trust Jesus. Folks, without a connection by faith to Jesus Christ, we are all perishing. I'd like to look closely at this word perishing this morning by asking several questions. Here's the first question. What is perishing? What's Jesus talking about when he mentions this word, when He gives this word perish in John 3:16? One of the things the Bible teaches us about what happens when unbelievers die, there are many things that the Bible teaches, but of all those things, I'd like to mention four this morning that are connected with perishing. These four things will help us understand what it means to perish. Here's the first thing. Perishing means being under the wrath of God. Look at verse 18, John 3, 18. Jesus says, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So when we think of this term, or we think of this word perishing, the issue is not simply dying. There will be dying. There will be death. But included in that dying and in that death, this word perishing also means to be judged, to be condemned by God. Look at verse 36, John 3, 36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Oh, folks, what a sobering statement that is. See, we find this in this same passage where Jesus speaks to Nicodemus. This last verse 36 moves past that, but yet Jesus is bringing out this truth. "He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." The wrath, the judgment, the furious, heated, settled anger of God abides or dwells or remains on that one who does not believe. Now, when we begin to think about this morning, then you begin to see, or I hope you can see, why important this statement is so important. This has to do with life. This has to do with death. This has to do with eternal life. This has to do with eternal death. See, what this shows us is that we need rescued from perishing. And folks, it's the love of God that rescues us from the wrath of God. And so to perish, first of all, means that we are under the wrath of God if we don't trust Jesus Christ. We remain under His judgment. We remain under His wrath if we've not trusted Jesus Christ. And oh, folks, to be under the wrath of God is a terrifying place to be. There's a second truth that will help us understand what this word perishing means. Perishing means fiery torment. You see, perishing is not, as some would say, simply going out of existence. Perishing is not, as some would say, simply out of the presence of God. But listen now to what the Apostle John, the same man who wrote these words that Jesus spoke here, listen to what John says in another book of the Bible, actually the last book of the Bible, as he talks about the future of those who reject Jesus Christ. Hold your place and turn to Revelation chapter 14, and look with me at verse 10. Revelation chapter 14, verse 10. And again, John is writing here, and he's writing, giving a description of what will happen to those who reject Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 14, verse 10, he writes, "He himself," about the unbelievers, "he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Folks, that's what's in store for those who do not put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Again, holding your place in John chapter 3, turn back to Matthew chapter 13, and look with me at the words of Jesus, because Jesus himself says this concerning the perishing of hell in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 41. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 41, look what Jesus says. He says, "The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now, I want you to see that, and I want you to understand this, that this is Jesus speaking. The same Jesus who spoke to Nicodemus and who talked about the love of God and who talked about perishing and who talked about believing and faith and whoever and eternal life, Jesus here speaking about the torment, the pain, the suffering that's in store for those who do not put their faith in Jesus Christ. And folks, there are many other descriptions that we find of this place called hell, and the Bible makes it clear that it's a place of torment and fire and darkness and weeping and pain, and it never, never ends. And folks, it's absolutely nothing to joke about. It's nothing to take lightly. It's nothing to make fun of today or any day. There's a third truth I would share with you. Keep in mind, we want to understand what this word perish means. Number three, perishing means separation from the glory of God. Hold your place in John 3 and turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. The Apostle Paul is speaking here, and notice what he says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, "These shall be punished." He's talking about those who don't believe. "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Folks, God made us to live and breathe and function and exist in His presence and for His glory. And there are countless ways that God reveals Himself and His glory to us every day if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. But yet in hell, in this place that Jesus talks about, in this place that's connected with this word perish, in hell, those who perish will be cut off from the presence of God and the glory of God, and the only part of God that they will know is the wrath of God and the judgment of God. So it helps us understand this perishing that Jesus speaks about. There's a fourth truth. This perishing is everlasting and irreversible. Back in John 3:16, I want you to notice that perishing is the opposite of eternal life. In other words, whoever believes shall not perish. But if you don't believe, whoever believes will not perish. But if you do believe, you will have everlasting life. So it's opposite. Perishing is opposite of belief, of eternal life. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Jesus says, "All these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So we see the opposite. When we think of perishing, that's the opposite of eternal life. Jesus makes that clear. In Luke chapter 16, verse 26, Jesus says that there is a great gulf, a great chasm fixed between heaven and hell, so that no one goes from one place to the other. Perishing is eternal. It's irreversible. Now let's bring that together with these truths that we've looked at. First of all, perishing means wrath and judgment. Second, perishing means fiery torment. Number three, perishing means separation from God. And number four, perishing lasts forever and cannot be reversed. And so I say this as a warning this morning, as plain as possible. Flee from the wrath of God. Run to the love of God through Jesus Christ. This perishing is real. Jesus speaks of it. I can't say to you how serious this is today. Because what this moment means is that for any of us who will stand before the throne of God's judgment unbelieving, we will not be able to say to God, "Nobody ever warned me. No one ever told me the truth." Because God will say that on April 27th, 2014, I appointed you to be in that place called Faith Baptist Church in Iowa City, and I appointed my servant to warn you, and you were there, and he warned you. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Folks, the great and amazing news of John 3:16 is that the love of God rescues us from the wrath of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now here's a second question. We're understanding this word perish from John 3:16. Here's a second question. So why are we all perishing if we don't trust Jesus Christ? The simplest way I can answer that is actually to quote the Apostle Paul from Romans 3:23, and Paul says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Or I would quote with you Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, folks, that's perishing. It's perishing because we're all sinners. It's perishing because sin deserves punishing. Sin deserves perishing. But the question should come to us, why? Why does sin deserve such a punishment? Why is it so serious? Why are you saying this? Well, folks, the answer is this, that God is the most worthy and valuable and important and glorious person in the universe. His greatness and His goodness is infinite. He made all things. All things are measured by Him. He is the beginning and the end of all things. Every person depends upon God for everything, and therefore we owe Him trust and allegiance and love and worship and honor and respect and obedience, because He made us and He owns us and He sustains us. And therefore, stay with me here, because when we reject Him and we distrust Him and we disobey Him and we neglect Him and we enjoy other things more than Him, then all of these actions are infinite insults to His infinite value and worth. And folks, an infinite insult to a person of infinite value and worth deserves infinite punishment. And then the more we consider this truth, then the more that we will realize just how much God loves us by giving His Son Jesus Christ to rescue us from this perishing. The infinite God would give His greatest gift to save us from our infinite, despicable sin. That's the love of God. And finally, there's a third question. Is it helpful to hear this bad news? See, you may be sitting there this morning saying, "Why is he saying this? This makes me uncomfortable. This makes me not feel good. Why is he saying this? Why is he sharing this bad news with me?" You see, folks, many of us could testify of how the wrath and the judgment and the anger of God drove us to the gospel, where the love of God relieved our fear and the weight of our sin. I read how a man named John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. And I read how John Newton became a sea captain and a slave trader in the 1700s, and generally was an evil man, a perverse man, a rebel against God. And it was God who, through a series of fearful dangers, shocked John Newton into spiritual seriousness and moved him to take heaven and hell more seriously. For example, he was almost shipwrecked. He was placed in bondage by a ruthless sea captain. A hunting accident almost took his life. In a terrible storm at sea, he watched a man swept overboard in that storm, and John Newton realized his helplessness. He admitted his hopeless condition before Almighty God, and he cried out for God's mercy. And he spent the rest of that sea voyage in deep seriousness as he read and he prayed over the Scriptures. And in his own words, he said this: "I had a satisfactory evidence in my own mind of the truth of the gospel and of its exact suitableness to answer all of my needs. I stood in need of an almighty Savior, and such a one I found described in the New Testament." You see, John Newton came to salvation because he was faced with the judgment, the consequences of his sin. God got his attention and brought him to fear and despair so that he could look for relief in the only place where it could be found, Jesus Christ. I know of a man who was a pastor's son and who was brought up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And he had heard the Scriptures as a child, and as a young man, he had heard clearly the gospel. As a matter of fact, many times he heard the gospel in his life, but he went his own way. He would live his life without God, but God would not allow it. After years of trouble and hardship and a life filled with the consequences of sin and rebellion, God got his attention. His father died suddenly. The man that he loved and respected was gone. And he knew that his father was in heaven. And he also knew that he would never, ever see him again. And the weight of his sin and the burden of God's judgment was upon him. And on a certain Sunday, as he drove from his home in West Virginia to his workplace in Virginia, he suddenly pulled off the interstate. The hand of God had gripped his heart. And right there on the side of the interstate in Virginia, my dad cried out for the mercy of God, and he placed his trust in Jesus Christ alone as his Savior. And Jesus saved him. Jesus brought him to salvation. Dad recently told me, as we talked about salvation, that the weight of God's judgment was so strong upon him, and the hand of God's mercy was so great upon him at that time, at that moment, that he could not say no. He could not say no. And when God worked to open the blindness and the darkness of his sinful heart, he said, "I had to say yes to Jesus. I could not say no." And folks, that's the grace of God. Amen. And that's the inescapable, irresistible grace of God that works in our lives. A short time after we came to Faith Baptist Church, I was in the office on a Saturday evening. It had been a very busy week. I needed to finish some things for Sunday. There was even a fellowship taking place that evening, and I just wasn't even able to attend it because there were things I had to get done for the next day. It was about 7 p.m. and I received a phone call. A young man on the other end of the line was desperate. He had questions about life and death, and he needed answers, and I told him to come. And when he sat down in front of me, the weight of sin and judgment was upon him. His life was a mess. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. There was no relief. And I told him why. He was facing the consequences of his choices to live life without God. And I told him if there was no change of mind or repentance, then the consequence would be hell itself. His only hope was to trust Jesus Christ. And right there, then, he changed his mind about God, about Jesus, about his sin, and he believed and trusted in Jesus Christ. You see, folks, I would answer this question. Yes, it is helpful and it's necessary to warn people about what's at stake in life. Don't be fooled by those who say such warnings are not loving or caring, because the truth is these warnings are of great love and great compassion. And I would say to you this morning, even as we think about this simple statement that Jesus makes to Nicodemus, and we focus on this word perish, I would say to you today that if the weight of your sin and the burden of God's judgment is heavy upon you today, don't delay. The burden is put there by God, and the burden is put there by God so that you will come to God for rescue. Because of sin, we all face this danger of perishing. But folks, that's not all. Because we'll continue to look at John 3:16. We see it clearly. There is a perishing. But oh, folks, there's a rescue. There is a deliverance that God has provided through faith in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed, before we pray, I would just simply say, if you're here this morning and you've not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you're here today and the weight of that sin is upon you, the burden of God's condemnation is heavy upon you, please know there is salvation. That Jesus Christ has died for you. Jesus Christ has shed His blood for you. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And all those who put their faith in Jesus can be saved. Father, as we come to You this morning, we thank You for the simplicity of these words in John 3:16. And Father, thank You for an opportunity to share simply this word, perishing. Oh God, help us today. Help us to see what You've saved us from, to know what You've saved us from. Father, if there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith in Jesus, may today be the day of their salvation. May today be that day when they experience the deliverance that comes because of Your great love through Jesus Christ. And Father, we will trust You for that work in the lives of people today. May You be honored. May You be glorified. May You be exalted even now as these truths move within us, in our hearts and in our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's